I was on Twitter and everyone was like, Capital's like, what is happening?
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
It's just a measure of how their season has been going. They can't catch a break no matter how hard they're trying.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTV Sports app now.
Now it's 7 minutes before 9 o'clock. It is time for us to chat to Paul Cleganan. His new book is out, Journaling to Be the Best You Can Be in Sport. Paul is a sports coach working with teenage athletes at local hurling club in Carnmore in Galway, as well as being a coach and consultant. We spoke to Paul last summer as part of our Future of Sport series, and delighted to say that he's here with us. He's also the creator of the Carver Coaching Framework. Paul, how are you getting on this morning?
Good, lads. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, look, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year in advance. Now, people are probably thinking, Paul, about what they can do in the new year, and you've been writing about the benefits of, you know, journaling, keeping accountable to what you want to achieve in a week, and also, I guess, making time to actually sit down and plan things out.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, throughout my adult life, I've been trying to help athletes and coaches find the best way and to provide resources for athletes to achieve their best. And I've often found that, like, everyone wants to be good and everyone wants to win, but it's knowing how to do it and the best ways to do it and providing the supports and resources is the challenge. So I have long espoused the value of journaling for improved sporting performance. And I wrote a book last year, Be the Best You Can Be in Sport, which provided a lot of the information that you might need. But I think there's a missing piece there in the ability to process that information and to figure out what it means to you and how you want to represent yourself in sport and in the various elements of preparation in sport. So what I tried to do was produce a resource for them so that they could journal and reflect and I suppose be introspective on certain elements that will drive performance and then provide, I suppose, a framework or, I suppose, a process where they can be true to that and learn as they go. So that's what I try to do.
I was reading about Dan Carter speaking about this on a podcast recently too, and he was making the point that he took this up as part of his career as a rugby player, and it's something that he's carried into life after sport too. And he said that one of the great benefits that he found from actually journaling what he was doing and what he wanted to achieve and reflecting on maybe, you know, good and bad points during the week is that he wouldn't then just cruise from day to day. Like, he even plans his days off now in life beyond sport because he feels it's important to actually sit down, work out what he wants to achieve, give himself a bit of thanks for what he achieves along the way, and also to chart the learnings and maybe things he wasn't expecting along the way too. He's found it valuable even beyond sport to do this.
Yeah, I suppose there's a phrase I think I've heard before, getting better at getting better is a phrase. And you'll find even the research will tell us this, all the high performers, they're better at plan, do, review, and they're better at being really clear in how they want to behave. So giving themselves that space, I think in that podcast, he said he takes a half an hour on a Sunday to plan out his week ahead. And he's very clear on his purpose when he was a player. So he's really clear to be a great All Black. And he was, I think, I was listening to the same podcast. He was very clear on his personal truths. I think a personal truth he had was good enough isn't good enough, be the best. And how that shaped his behaviours thereafter. He talked about, you know, the realisation of his purpose was to be a great All Black, and that drove all his behaviours thereafter. And that's, I suppose, the power of journaling. It gives you that time to sit down, ask yourself deep questions, draw your personal truths, draw clarity, and from that insight, then drive informed actions and maybe figure out who you need to get to help you, certain things like that. So you actually get better at getting better in a very systematic, structured way. And excellence is quite rare. So it's rare for people to do this, you know. And sometimes I say I write books called Be the Best You Can Be in Sport, not Be Average or whatever, you know. So there is a cost, but it's definitely worth it, I would believe. We spend an awful lot of time training and preparing. And I think there seems to be a huge gap in, we'll say, delivering their potential for all the inputs. And I think this is part of that gap.
The honesty that a player has to show to actually find that driving force as well. We keep Barry on a couple of weeks ago talking about his work with Keith Earls, and he was saying it took a couple of meetings with Keith to work out exactly what he wants to achieve. And then that one singular goal that Keith Earls wanted to achieve, he wanted to be the Irish Players Player of the Year the next season. And that was going to be his one driving goal. So every little small incremental thing that he did along the way was to try and be the best Irish rugby player for the next season. But he said at the start, that was something that he had to work with Keith for a while, was to work out what the actual driving force was. Because for an athlete, they might have various different things that they want to achieve. It might be to try and get Munster to a trophy. It might be to try and get Ireland to win something. It might be to get in the team, to not make mistakes. It probably takes a little bit of introspective thought to work out exactly what the player is driving for here.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, good thinking requires time. And we're time poor a lot of the time because there's so much information and context shifting coming at us all the time. So that's what journaling provides. It provides that time, that golden time to sit down and to gather your thoughts and then review them and keep reviewing them and refining them. And that's, as far as I can see, through 20 years of dealing with all athletes of all ages, all abilities, that's what I see as the missing parts. They don't, I suppose, there's a phrase, know me, be me, stay me. And, you know, to be yourself, you have to know yourself. And then to stay yourself under pressure and stress in competition, you have to really know yourself. So you will find that an awful lot of the high performers will, it'll sound really, really simple, but I think simplicity is the highest form of complexity. So they have simplified it, and not oversimplified it, which some people confuse it by, but they have simplified it through so much process of self-reflection. Now, a lot of these professional athletes have professional supports to help them get there to that deep meaning. I have heard a performance psychologist who says, I spend the first 2 years working with an athlete on identity. And then performance is just expressing that identity, you know, in a cool, collected way, because you know yourself so well, and that the performance arena isn't a place for anxiety there. It's a place for, I suppose, enjoyment. And if you go back to Dan Carter, the last phrase he would write in his journal before performance was enjoy. And I think sometimes we look at that superficially. We don't look at it at a deep enough level. It's that my understanding of it would be, because a lot of people throw that out, just enjoy it. But how can you enjoy it if you're not poorly, if you're poorly prepared? How can you enjoy it if you're under stress, anxious? You can't. So the enjoyment only comes from the preparation and then looking forward to presenting this preparation at a high level.
Something I thought was very interesting about Carter too, Paul, was that he mentioned the fact that he also had to try and plan for the bits of his week which were away from sport too, because he was pointing out that maybe 4 or 5 days he's got gym program, he's taken on all this information from coaches along the way, doing his individual bits of training as well, and the focus is hugely on rugby for the vast majority of his week. But he also had to kind of allocate space where he could think about not playing the game and also to be able to enjoy life a bit away from it too. I guess finding that balance is probably important if you're doing your journaling and actually planning out your week as well.
Yeah. So sometimes they call that athletic identity foreclosure, where you just look at yourself as completely just as an athlete and no other parts of your life are developed. And really, it's a narrow lens to look at. So I think a lot of the All Blacks and Carter particularly, they're very clear on that. This is a small part, but a really important part of who we are. So if you look at the way I set up the journal, I put there's a 9-day This Is Me challenge to begin with. So there's eight topics I've asked them to journal for 30 minutes on. The first one is what sport means to me. So understanding the why, understanding what you want to achieve from it, what it means to yourself, those around you. And then we move into self-identity and personal truths. And in that identity piece, we look at the different roles and, you know, being maybe a husband, being a son, being an employee, being a student, all the different roles. And then we look at the truths for life or what you know for sure. And then day three moves on to character and values and creating kind of personal mission statements about how you want to behave. And then day four looks at, I'm trying to look at the whole gambit of performance, what type of teammate you want to be and what are exceptional, acceptable and unacceptable behaviors for a teammate, getting real clarity there. And then day five, we go on to kind of your ability to learn, coachability and the learner's mindset. And I suppose being that student of the game and that student of performance, that learning piece. Then six, we talk about application to training. I think on day seven, then we talk about time and energy management, planning out is how you're spending your time and your energy true to your values and your identity. Are you putting all your time into one area and not enough into developing the other areas, the more rounded athlete? And then day eight, I look at excellence, success and commitment and defining them things for themselves. And then on day nine, we summarize the whole 8 days of 30 minutes a day, which is tough. I understand that. I don't apologize for that. On the ninth day, then they come up with a This Is Me summary, which summarizes the eight previous days. And then the next 21 days in the journal are how can we deliver or work towards that. So the Sunday is 30 minutes of planning. Then the weekdays are morning and evening journaling. And then the Saturday is a reflection piece. And all the time we're setting goals and we're metric tracking in the 21 days. So how much time am I actually spending on things that are important to my life outside of sport? And because to be applying yourself, we need intensity. And it's very hard to sustain intensity if we don't get away from things. So what I've tried to do in the journal is create that type of a framework or a structure or a process for the athletes to really build out the behaviours that can drive, informed action and self-reflection and learning as they go.
Yeah, and while there's a lot of self-reflection and introspection probably required along the way over the 4 weeks or so that they're going to be journaling here initially, if they follow along your path, is this something that's actually accessible to all athletes or the vast majority of athletes, though? If they sit down and actually give the time to it, can this be achieved by pretty much anyone in sport?
Yeah, I think it requires discipline, you see. And I suppose there's a phrase there, everybody wants to win, but not everybody wants to prepare in order to be good enough to win or be prepared enough to win. So there is that self-discipline piece. And all too often, I think we undervalue excellence or we undervalue craft and things like that. So everyone can try, and I really hope everyone has the capacities to do it. It won't suit everyone at certain stages of their life and that thing, but it's there for everyone. Performance is always available. Performance is always available for everyone. So I try to make resources that would be suitable for a professional and someone who mightn't, you know, be obsessed by this. So I would like to think it's doable for everybody. I would like to think it's a tool that can be used by many. And I would like to think that it's a tool that can help everyone. That would be my hope anyways.
And I would imagine as well, Paul, if you get into this journey, and particularly if you get over the first 8 or 9 days and you've set out your goals and you've written all this down, you're in all likelihood probably going to follow through for the 3 weeks that go, because you've already invested so much, you've already written this down, you've already made yourself accountable. You're probably going to follow on with the process more than if you weren't actually writing this down. It's very easy, if we're not, to do what Carter said and to just kind of cruise. You could go, well, look, I did a week or so and I put all these goals down, I'm going to try and achieve as many as I possibly can. But when you've actually journaled to that point, you're probably more likely to follow on in the following weeks if you've started the process.
Yeah, that would be the hope. Yeah, I think, you know, what I'm trying to do in this is give a deep dive into it. Obviously, day-to-day journaling for an athlete isn't as complex as that. But I think, you know, they say two smart lat and a hybrid, a good start is really important, you know. So that's what I try to do, front load it at the start. And then it's almost about kind of, you know, topping it up as they go along and tilting it and turning it. But there is an investment at the start, yeah, for sure. I don't apologize for that. I think if we look at the amount of time we spend like on, and we have to get our priorities right, the amount of time we're spending on the pitch, the amount of time athletes are spending in the gym, and then to think that it wouldn't, it would be, you know, a lot to ask to 10 or 15 minutes of sitting down and planning and thinking about it, you know, I don't think it's a big gap to think that that's a wise decision to make, you know.
Well, look, the book is Journaling to Be the Best You Can Be in Sport. It's written by Paul Kilgannon. Paul, thanks a million for joining us here on OTBAM.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, and just to end there, it's available on carvercoachingframework.com, and we have a coupon code there for OTB10 for anyone who wants to buy it. It's OTB10. It's a discount. So thanks, guys.
There you go. No excuse to get a bit cheaper before Christmas. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Bye-bye.